Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Thanks so much, Brody. Well, all good things must come to an end, I guess. Sharks go into the desert to take on the desert dogs, and they have their 7-game winning streak deserted, I guess you could say. Sharks lose 6-3 to the Arizona Coyotes. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. This is your live and interactive Sharks post game. This is the time where, well, national broadcasts, well, this is your only Sharks post game. So thank you so much to over the 1130 subscribers onto our YouTube channel. But of course, we do this for you, fellow Sharks fans. And if you want to be part of the show, there's multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us and fellow Sharks fans in the YouTube chat on the page or the app, or just at us at TealTownUSA or use the hashtag TealTownUSA. We'll get to as many your comments as possible tonight. But of course, make sure you hit up all of us on the social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and the YouTube channel. Hi, everyone. I'm Eric Kura. I'm alongside Mr. AJ Strong.
What it is, what it was, what it shall be.
What it is, well, the Sharks were entering the Glendale with a 7-game winning streak. Arizona, 3 out of 4, fighting for a wild card spot. But let's lock and load, grip it and rip it and get at it. This one, 2:31 in, Lawson Kraus, his 7th of the season from Kempe, makes it 1-0 Desert Dogs. Oh, excuse us. There
we
go.
It's gonna be a long show if we keep doing that.
Oh, I know. We'll try to keep it short then. Dell thought he had it in the glove, AJ, and that was one of those ones where it's like, God.
No, that was a goal that you immediately, I'll be honest, as soon as I saw that Dell was getting the start in this, I was like, why? Like, I can understand, like, okay, they talked about how the last 3 times Dell has faced Arizona, it's been good and blah, blah. We heard that same story on New Year's Eve versus Calgary, how great he had been at the Saddle Dome. We all know what happened. I just could not figure out, at least in my mind, it's like, yeah, okay, I get it, you know, back to back, they played last night at home, let's put Dell in there. To me, I just, the whole time I'm going, why do you not ride the hot hand in this? You know, they're not playing again until Saturday. Just and then to see that it started off like that and to have that goal, a really soft goal, and what ends up happening is the Sharks lose by 1. Yeah, that's when you go back and you look at and you're pretty pissed off.
Yeah, and not a great time to start too well. And then, you know, 4 minutes in, Hjalmarsson takes a hooking penalty on Couture. You're thinking, all right, Sharks can get this even up. And no, quite the opposite. Ponick with a shorthanded goal. Burns fans on the shot. Then he tries to set it back up to the point. That doesn't work out too well. Goes right to Ponick, and then boom, 2-0 Desert Dogs. My goodness. I mean, what a rough start for the Sharks and Burns and Dell.
I'm still just trying to work it out how you had this ridiculous stretch over 10 days where you beat the best team in the league. You beat Vegas, and like, okay, maybe Ottawa's the trap game, but friggin' Arizona? Really? Really? But, okay, you know, it's not like they have Smith in goal anymore. This is not that, but now the Sharks, 3rd time, 4 meetings this season, the Sharks are 1-1-1 against these guys. It's just amazes me. I don't understand it, but okay, whatever. And to give up a shorty,
In like 4.5 minutes in, that's just a rough one.
Yeah. So, again, I'm like, why is Dell starting the, and then in the, they had looked so good defensively over the last few games. And then tonight, it's like you hold Pittsburgh to like 21, 22 shots or 24 shots, whatever it was. It was really low last night, like 24 shots on goal. Tonight you give up 41 to friggin' Arizona.
Right.
Okay. With every, you know, with all the same guys.
And that's the weirdest thing. It's the only
it's
thing.
It's not like Vlasic came back tonight. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not like the only thing we had changed was Delanet, and the location was in Arizona, not San Jose. So I don't know. It's a back to back. You know, like Manny's saying in the chat, it's a trap. You know, Dave B in the chat saying, I couldn't be mad about this. This was straight up shaft by NHL schedulers. What I can be mad is the complete crap officiating wasn't the reason they lost, but man,
this
I'm not sure if it was the officiating too much, especially at the end though. That's where I started getting upset about that.
Yeah, there was a couple botch jobs by the officials in this one, but this game I feel was like long, like it was in the books before the officials got involved. And you can't say this is a shaft by the schedulers by any stretch. You know, every team has a back to, you know, back to backs, and you're going to have these situations. Again, I go back to the idea of, or the decision of putting Dell in this game. I'm thinking, you know, I ride the hot hand. You know, it's not like the Sharks are going to be playing 3 and 4 days, or did they just do that?
Well, they played yesterday, played tonight. No, they played Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they fly out tomorrow to Tampa, and then they get Tampa, and then followed by Florida
again,
and then Washington.
Yeah. I'm not sure why you put Dell in this game. But whatever. You know, being pointed out that Erik Karlsson is a -4 tonight. Hurdle, after putting a hat trick up last night, is a -3 today. So again, it's one of those things where we've seen it time and time again, kids, is that sometimes this team just plays down to their competition. They can get up for big games, and they just don't have it sometimes versus lesser opponents.
Yeah. Dave B explaining his reasoning. It's a shaft by the NHL because they've played 10 games in 15 days.
Well, I mean, I'd have to go through the schedule and see who else is doing stuff like that, but I'm sure the Sharks aren't the only ones.
Yeah. So, moving onward. So 4:39 panic makes it 2-0. Sharks get into a panic. However, we finally have a deposit in the bank. Kevin LeBanc gets out of the schneid, and he starts off a great night, actually, with his fifth of the season at 6:53 from Dilly Dilly. And Braun, nice to see LeBanc, you know, get off the schneid there. AJ looked pretty good tonight. I think the fourth line actually looked pretty decent all night long.
It felt like that might have been the one line that showed up tonight. I mean, LeBanc, you know, LeBanc leads the team 3 points tonight. Lord knows he's been due. You know, I don't know that he barked his way out of the doghouse by any stretch, especially when you look at how great the other three lines have been up until tonight. But, you know, that what you saw tonight from that fourth line, that's what you're going to need from that fourth line in, you know, game three of a playoff.
Yep.
You know, come April and May and hopefully June. So, hey.
And you know, even though you said they were in the doghouse, weren't they literally in a doghouse tonight in Glendale?
Let it go, man.
All right. Sorry. But it makes me want to, you know, break out the sounder that Randy Hahn had tonight, because Randy didn't do the game nationally. It was Chris Cuthbert. So Randy enjoying a nice brew tonight.
Sharks versus Desert Dogs. Game on.
You know, that's what I just blame this whole thing on. It's just kind of like, you know, if you're going to lose to Arizona, at least have Brody and Randy involved in this, so we're all like half in the bag by the end of the game. Just saying.
Right. Further down the road, Donskoy takes a tripping call at 13:26. You know, after 20 minutes, it was 17-13 in shots favoring the Coyotes. But AJ, 77-23 in the faceoff circle for the Sharks, and the Sharks destroyed the Coyotes in the faceoff circle.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I almost felt like they were just lulling him into like a false sense of security or something, man. It was just really weird. There was just, this game to me was just odd from the get-go. Again, it's that idea of I saw that Dell was going, I'm going, why Dell? Then you get the easy goal in the first 2.5 minutes. Then 2 minutes later, he lets in another one that on the of the soft variety. And to me, at that point, I was kind of like, oh, boy. All right, we're going to have to write this game off. This is what, you know, there's that. Nobody goes 82-0, people. But there are those handful of games that every team has. Everybody spits the bit. We remember the Sharks destroying Philadelphia 8-2 early in the season. I guarantee you Philadelphia wrote that game off. It's everybody has these kind of games. But I wasn't expecting it versus Arizona, but
yeah, and some people calling for the missing for Troy Grosnick, and
what?
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, I mentioned and a lot of love for Grosnick, but he's in Milwaukee right now, so unfortunately, he's not going anywhere. But you have Cornash and Bebo with the CUDA right now, and Cornash is going to play in the AHL All-Star Classic, so you know, yeah, they definitely have options if they want to go a different route with backup goaltending.
Yeah, but Cornash has looked pretty human over the last 10 games or so too. It's not like the CUDA have been lighting it up as of late. So
and some mentioning that maybe Dell's year three, and I don't know who said it in the chat, is looking similar to Stalock's year three.
Yeah, so I mean, you're not wrong.
Yep. So second period, Arizona looked like they were dominating early, and they made it pay as Fisher gets his 11th from Lykushkin and Wheel on a wrap around, making it 3-1 Coyotes. 7:50 in, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, you know, the elbower from Keller and Fisher, makes it 4-1 Coyotes. PDP challenged this, saying it was offside.
I don't know what the hell they were drinking behind the bench.
Right.
I have no idea what they were looking at. I don't know if somebody was confused about something, but to challenge that for offside, I had no idea what they were looking at. Like, as soon as I saw that there was a challenge, I'm like, is that for goalie interference or something? Like, what? Like, this wasn't even close to being offside. And yeah. And then, of course, Ekman-Larsson, who evidently can play with impunity whenever he faces the Sharks this season.
Yeah. Christine saying PDB said it was their error via Kevin Kurz. Yeah, that's an error. I mean, granted, the ensuing power play after that didn't, you know, materialize anything for the Coyotes. However, about a half a minute after, they go off for the penalty on the review challenge. Evander Kane gets his 4th point in the last 26 hours on a sweet pass from Kevin LeBanc. Kane with a wicked wrister makes it 4-2, thinking, okay, they got a shot here.
Yeah, so you're telling me there's a chance. To talk to a couple people in the chat, do they play back-to-backs in the playoffs? It's not unheard of, but it is rare.
Yeah, they try to avoid it.
Yeah, you want to try to avoid that at all costs, but I do remember seeing it a couple times here and there, but it is pretty rare. Do you think EK65 is played tonight as related to an injury? And I know, I'm sure that has to do with the fact that, you know, yesterday at practice, he wasn't at practice, and they sat him for a decent amount of the end of the third period. Yeah, he's probably nursing something. Do I think that accounts for him being a -4 tonight? Maybe. But I mean, the whole team to a certain degree was a tire fire tonight. You know, that nothing wrong with Tomas Hertl. We saw what he did last night, and yet he was a -3 tonight. And I know, but you know, the you can sit here and talk forever about plus minus is a worthless stat, blah 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 blah. There's a little bit to it, but Hertl was also 43% in the circle tonight. So you know, not his, following up a really great game and not having his best game. So it happens. Again, this is one of those games you sit there and go, okay, these kind of brain fart games are going to happen. I still go back to the idea of that first Dell goal. Like, maybe the Sharks at least pull a charity point out of this, like the Calgary Flames did tonight.
Oh, we'll get to that in the wraparound in a little bit. People asking for Wayne Simmonds, others saying we don't need Wayne Simmonds. I don't know.
I want Eric Fairback. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, you know, that might not be a bad idea, to be honest. Matt Dynan saying Pierre was a minus eight tonight. Oh, boy. Daniel Martinez, the fact that the ref, and this was Tim Peel, and Pierre actually confirmed this, the fact that the ref yelled at the Sharks bench for a makeup call because they missed a blatant penalty before is quite annoying. This officiating group was really bad these last two games. There's something about Tim Peel and the Sharks. I don't know what it is, but
I don't know.
It's like the Carey Fraser, but you gotta, you know, make sure that the refs don't become a factor in the game in the long run.
I couldn't agree more. And see, the funny thing is you can complain a little bit that the refs seem to miss a couple things. I mean, we can obviously talk about Ekman Larson and Timo Meier towards the end of the third, but
oh, jeez,
it's, you have that, but you can look at the game last night where even the officials with Pittsburgh, it seemed like there was a couple times. You talk about that call against Donskoy for closing his hand on the puck, and you look at the intermission, it was like nothing even close to that, where the officials were like looking for a reason to call, to get the Pittsburgh Penguins onto a power play. Again, I don't want to sit there and go full-blown conspiracy, you know, tinfoil hat, but when you see stuff like that, it's like, well, where do you think that whole idea of conspiracy theories come from when you see just quizzical calls that just really make zero sense? So, oh, holy hell.
John, thank you very much.
Dude, jeez, you're the man, bro.
$20 donation, appreciate it. In the super
and chat, Chingo saying don't blame the rest for this loss. No one's blaming the rest for this loss at all. I'm blaming it on Dell for the most part for right? That early goal. Again, I could have at least stomached it if you don't let in that early goal and maybe you end up going into overtime, and even if you lose it in overtime like you did the last time you saw Arizona, where you lost in the shootout because Galchenyuk had two goals and was the only one who scored in the shootout. That's one thing, but this was, and Beach Boys fan forever, should have started Jones. That was my point from the start of the show. Dell played as well as we expected. Oh, that doesn't bode well for the remainder of this season. Oh, be well, Jonesy. Be well.
When you can't win, almost the whole puts up minuses. Yeah, the whole team puts up minuses there. And that, moving on to the third period, Burnsy early on, fans on a pass again, leads to a scoring chance for the Coyotes. Seemed like they were fighting the puck too, so I don't know what's going on there tonight. 2:56, you know, Dell kept this team in the game. For much as there wasn't much love for Dell, Dell made some huge saves that kept it 4-2 from the Kane goal in the second onward. He robbed Hinostroza. I mean, yeah, he got off to a rough start, but AJ, what did you think of Dell overall?
No, like you said, a rough start. 41 shots on goal the Coyotes had tonight, so it wasn't a complete tire fire. And remember, the final goal scored here was an empty netter, essentially. You know, I don't know if that goes against Dell because, like, he was on his way off the ice at the time.
Yeah, according to NHL.com, he only gave up 4 goals tonight.
There. So, which is not great, especially when you look at those first two. But, yeah, after he let in the first two, he did settle down. And 41 shots, that's not bad. But you obviously want to see better from him. We've seen Jones turn the corner since, I mean, well, it really started since the Montreal game. Like he's only like been lost three games since early December. But Dell really needing to turn the corner. You know, it wasn't that long ago, ladies and gentlemen, that we were talking about like maybe Dell needs to get more starts this season because Jones was so shaky. Yeah, right. And then you see this. So then it's just like, you know, it's good. I'm already picturing people going, you know, do you think somebody would take maybe LeBanc for Bobrovsky or, so, you know, like there's going to be something weird going on. Wouldn't surprise me if the Sharks make a move for Bobrovsky.
Oh boy, that won't start a goalie controversy at all in San Jose, and we're not talking like Reimer and Jones or Jones and Dell, or Nemo and heck. After Nemo's performance, I'm surprised we aren't seeing more Nemo votes.
Bite your damn tongue.
4:54, Goodrow takes a slashing call. 8 seconds later, Fisher takes a slashing call. That's when Peel got on to the Sharks bench about it. So, you know, it's one of those nights, folks. And then a very interesting call late, 14:48, Ponick takes a hooking call, which I thought was a little iffy. Gave the Sharks a chance, and then Logan Couture gets it in from Carlson, LeBanc with a 3-point night. For Couture, though, and this was interesting, his first point in six games.
Well, it's not like he's getting a whole lot of ice time. So, you know, you got to make do with what you get. He's not getting the best looks. It's not going to get that much ice time right now being on the fourth line. Your quote unquote fourth line, you know, it was a little different when he was skating with, I don't know, Pavelski. So just, you got to work your way back. But right now you look at the thing that I think really made LeBanc expendable to a certain degree is the move of Hurdle back to center. Mm-hmm. And the thing that's really funny about that is the fact that NHL Network did a segment today that they even put on their Twitter about what the Sharks are looking at. And I think they might've even made a mention like, you know, will they be, you know, a part of the movers and shakers leading coming up to the deadline. And they were talking about, well, you can make the move for a winger, but the Sharks have some really solid wingers like Evander Kane and Tomas Hertl. And I'm like going, Tomas Hertl hasn't been a winger for the last 2 weeks. So
that'll be interesting. And there have been some ties to, like we said the other night, Ryan Zingle, Mark Stone from Ottawa, because, you know, we can only trade with Ottawa this whole season.
I like Zingle.
Yeah, I do like Zingle too. Stone would be good, but you're going to have to finagle around with the cap for sure. So Couture's goal makes it 4-3, makes it interesting. That's your teaser goal of sorts. 18:02, for some reason, PDV decided to let's pull the goalie when the puck is behind our own net. Carlson looked like his pass got deflected. An easy shot for Galchenyuk. It was an empty net goal, power play goal. Why was it a power play goal? Because Timo Meier tripped up Oliver Ekman-Larsson
after taking a shot to the head.
Yes, because, well, apparently headshots are okay in the NHL now, right?
Yeah, only if they're by Oliver Ekman-Larsson. And what the funny thing is, though, is if you go back and look at that replay, it looked like Ekman-Larsson stepped on the puck, and that's what threw his footing off. And it seems like that's the ref saw that and just said, oh, that must have been a trip or something. Like, I'm not saying Meyer's stick wasn't in there, but it looked like part of it was that Ekman-Larsson, you know, he stepped on the puck and maybe that threw his footing off a little bit. But see California Cruising saying, I thought he stepped on the puck too. See, I mean, I saw what I saw, man. But again, I go back to what we were saying early on in the season when the Sharks, they had a run. What was it? There was a run of like 3 or 4 games where they beat a string of teams, but the teams that they had beaten, none of them had a winning record. So it's that idea of I can't get too crazy, you know, with the positivity when they do a run of four or five games, but the teams that they're beating, boy, I wish I could remember what that string of games was, but I just remember that the stretch, I think that had to do with like Montreal, Carolina, Dallas, Arizona, New Jersey, that stretch in early December, they had a nice string of wins, but not a single one of those teams had a winning record. So you can't get too up for that. And conversely, for something like tonight, you can't get too down about it.
Right.
I say we just throw Dell under the bus and move on.
Oh, come on.
Dude, that's what we need a sounder for that. Like, what are you going to do? You go on. I have no problem losing this game if Tampa is if there's another victory versus Tampa this weekend. I have no problems losing this game, even though it is quote unquote in division. If they could beat Tampa twice in 2 weeks, hey, now
that would be really nice. And to take down the best team in the league twice in a season and they're not in your conference.
And hopefully the Sharks use tonight as a bit of a wake-up call. You know, like, dude, you can't just throw your helmets out there with the Sharks logo after winning seven in a row and say, oh, the Dogs? Yeah, we got this. No problem. You know, you just can't do that.
Right.
You know, there's no easy wins in the NHL. Well, maybe when you're playing Ottawa. But other than that,
no,
I'm kidding. Didn't Ottawa win tonight? Were they playing Colorado? Did they win?
They did win tonight.
See?
But here's a sound effect for you, Mr. AJ, for our 7-game winning streak, and that would be.
Oh man, get away from the game show sounders already, dear lord.
Oh geez. All right, so let's put a bow on this one. Coyotes outshot 41-29 to the Sharks. Faceoffs, if there's some takeaway from this, they dominated a faceoff circle, AJ, 60 to 40 on the night.
Again, I can't get crazy about that because they've won more than a few games where they were on the losing side of the faceoff number. So I can't get too crazy about that. The thing that I like to see is when they're positive on the faceoff wins in the offensive zone. I like seeing that. Put that pressure on the opposing team.
Yeah. Sharks went for 3 on the power play. Coyotes 1 for 4. That should technically be like 1 for 2 plus 8 seconds and 1 for 3 plus 8 seconds because both teams had an 8-second power play on their hits 31-20 in favor of Arizona, blocks 24-11 in favor of the Desert Dogs, 18-8 in the giveaway category in favor of the Sharks. That's not good. Hurdle was the only one that was below 50% in the faceoff circle at 43, as AJ mentioned. He was also a -3. Carlson a -4. He did pick up an assist tonight on the Couture goal. Dilly with his third assist in 2 games as well. Kevin LeBanc, let's give him some love here. A goal and 2 assists tonight for the banker.
Oh, good for you. No, cha-ching. Chingo asking if did Vlasic travel with the team. I wouldn't imagine why he wouldn't, especially now that they're going out on the road for 4. I think it depends on how close they think he is. But I don't know that he practiced with the team yesterday. I don't believe he did. So if he didn't, maybe he's not with the team right now, but that's something that I'm quite sure we'll hear about. Who knows if there'll be a practice tomorrow. Well, like might be an early morning practice in Arizona before they fly to Tampa. Yep. Who knows? So, you know, follow Kurz, follow Gackle. They'll be the first ones out to publish that information.
Definitely. Let's see. Happy early birthday to our good friend, Laurel.
Chat moderator extraordinaire.
Absolutely. One of our biggest fans. So hope you have a great birthday. If I'm not mistaken, it's the 17th, which is tomorrow, which is also the 22nd anniversary of the Owen Nolan called shot in the 97 All-Star game here in San Jose. Also a shout out to my half season compadre, Christine Dominguez. She sits next to me with our half season pack up in 225. So good cool, on cool, that. Cool. Yep. So
after tonight, I'm going to be real interested to see how the next three games go, because you have at Tampa this Saturday, then Monday at Florida. And again, you talk about, this is one of the ones that you, I can understand where you get like a little bit of a little ticked off at the NHL schedulers that you're playing at Tampa on Saturday, at Florida. Hello. That's by, for those of South you who Florida. Are, yeah, if you're impaired by geography, that's south of Tampa. So they're going to have to fly down to Florida and then fly up to Washington following that game to play Washington the next night. You know, it would have been nicer if, I don't know, you play Florida on Sunday. Like, that's the back-to-back in the same state. But I digress. Either way, do we see Dell get a start in the next three games because there is a back-to-back? You know, over the course of these four, what is it, five games, you have two back-to-backs. Does Dell get a start versus Florida?
I think he's going to want to get a redemption game in that one. With the
I thought tonight was a redemption for Calgary.
See, I think I think Monday will be the redemption for Calgary and the Desert Dogs. So just saying,
there's no way in hell Jones is not playing in Tampa, but I will be interested to see what happens with Florida. But there you go.
You think it's time?
Sure, why not?
All right.
You watch how fast I burn through this.
I have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
Wrap around.
Nope. Say it all you want. It isn't. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games tonight. All the home teams won. That's it. Back to you, Aaron. Okay. No, I'm kidding. That wasn't the situation anyway. Although it almost was, I believe, last night. I think every home team except Dallas won last night. It was a very weird time. But anyway, the Senators 5-2 over the Avalanche in Ottawa. Nothing of note there. You know, Duchesne, he scored 2. Zingo got 1. Stone got 1. And I only mentioned their names because we were talking about them earlier. They also did a weird shot of Tkachuk during the highlights, and he had a very... I don't want to get into it. Dispelling all the myths that Corsi means anything without context, the Flyers beat the Bruins 4-3, yet like lost every single... If you follow... What's his name? Is it Blackburn? Pete Blackburn?
Yes.
Yeah. Go look at Pete Blackburn's on Twitter. He basically posted the final score and then posted the Corsi numbers. And you talk about a... This game made Corsi look like completely meaningless. That was fun. Halak taking the loss in that one. What's this guy's name who got the hat trick?
Sean Couturier.
Yeah, there you go. I always want to say Couturier because I just see it on there. I just want to call him Logan Part 2. The Sabres 4-3. Unfortunately, the Flames pick up a charity point. God damn it. When are we going to get a break? Gaudreau with a ridiculous power play goal to start this one. Okay, I don't know what's going on with your phone, but unplug it because it's starting to make noise. Another one goes to OT. The Oilers beat the Canucks 3-2 in a shootout. Koskinen finally, I don't know if they've given up on Talbot for the time being, but of course, it wouldn't be a Oilers game without McDavid scoring. So there it is. Of course, you know, Arizona 6, San Jose 3. I still can't believe that one, but anywho.
But of course, we have another thing that we put off.
To announce.
That's right. There was a trade that happened just as the Sharks ended, and that was Anaheim acquiring Michael Delzato from the Vancouver Canucks in exchange for Shen and the seventh rounder, I believe that it was. And there, let me just make sure we pull that up. Yeah. Interesting move. The Ducks making moves here. This is like second trade in 3 days.
Let's be honest. They're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. That's all they're doing. To address some people in the chat asking about Owen Nolan dropping the ceremonial puck for the All-Star game. Yeah, I do think that would be cool. The thing you have to take into account, there's two things here. First off, I think it would make more sense if Nolan dropped the ceremonial puck if it was the All-Star game like it used to be, where it was just one game, not this round-robin, three-on-three, multiple game thing that they do. Is Nolan going to drop the puck for each one? Are they going to roll out different you know, is Nabby going to drop it for one because he was like the first goalie in, I don't know, 20 years to have a shutout period in the All-Star game? I think there's the argument to be made for Nolan to do it if it was just the singular All-Star game. The second thing you have to take into account, this is the NHL's baby. This isn't the Sharks. So the Sharks have no control over who drops the ceremonial first puck. Should Owen Nolan be involved? Absolutely. Does the NHL have a history of doing things and getting things right?
Yeah.
You know, so from time to time, we'll see if they get this one right. But you know, it'd be really funny. They get Nolan to drop the ceremonial first puck between the game between the Metro and the Atlantic.
Oh, God, of course. That wouldn't be surprising. That wouldn't be surprising. Speaking of the NHL, they did elaborate on their fanfare stuff. They have plenty of it. Check out NHL.com for that. The mascot showdown, that's going to be an epic one. I don't know if you saw AJ earlier today, but NBCSN was promoting that they should name Gritty the mascot captain, which caused Sharky to unfollow the NHL and NBC Sports Twitter.
Oh, dude, Bailey from the LA Kings lit them up too.
Yeah, there was a lot of them. Apparently not a lot of mascots in there.
Let me consider this for just a hot second. Last time I looked, Comcast and NBCSN are in bed together. And if I remember correctly, Comcast and Philadelphia Flyers, isn't there something little going on in there in the Philadelphia area with Comcast?
Yes, they are owned by the same company, NBC and the Flyers.
Ah, yeah. They want Gritty to be the captain, you know, the rookie to be captain.
Uh-huh. Insert X-Files theme here.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, what you think Gritty's like the Connor McDavid of mascots?
Yeah, right. No. Especially with Sharky there.
And that's the whole thing. I expect Sharky to like lay down some serious.
I just want him to just knock the crap out of Gritty.
There will be some shenanigans.
Yes. Plenty of guests, Hall of Famers, current players, and NHL legends. The autograph stage. I mean, you go through it. There's a lot of stuff here. They're even doing a chuck-a-puck there. The NHL Network, I believe, will be over there doing such. And, of course, the Stanley Cup will also be there to take a picture. And of another thing, too, AJ, they are bringing the Shark Head over to the convention center for it. So that'll be interesting. But that's also fun.
On January 22nd, the Stanley Cup will be at San Jose City Hall in the Rotunda. Sharks fan 27, was Urbe part of the 97 All-Star game? No, because Urbe.
Dallas.
I'm like, I don't remember Urbe ever going to an All-Star game. So.
1994 he did with Sandis Ozelinch in New York.
Oh, that is right. That is right. Yeah. But in fact, the Stanley Cup, yeah, it'll be at City Hall on Tuesday, I believe, and then we'll see what happens. It's going to be quite interesting. I do got to mention something that Lacey pointed out The fact that, again, this is, you know, don't fool yourself, people. Don't buy into the BS. This is an NHL event. This is not a San Jose Sharks event. The fact that you can walk around downtown and not see a single friggin' sign promoting that the All-Star game is going to be in San Jose in a week and a half is pretty pathetic. How are there not billboards up? How is there not, you know, there's a big, huge sign for the 2019 for the NCAA, the National Football Championship that was being played at Levi's. There are multiple signs all over the place for a game that, you know, that it's one day. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, this is like 3 or 4 days full of stuff. And there's like literally zero promotion. Again, this is not on the Sharks. This is on the NHL. I don't understand. You talk about wanting to grow the game, and then and of course too is, you know, they're going to sit there and bitch and moan and complain that, well, we moved the game to Saturday night, hopefully to get a ratings boost on TV and blah blah blah. Well, if you're as good as promoting it, I mean, holy hell, I just don't get why there's been that. Dude, when Erik Karlsson was traded here, I saw at least 3 electronic billboards welcoming Erik Karlsson to San Jose. Oh,
they were all over the place. Even in San Francisco, the Sharks put up billboards saying "Welcome to San Jose, Erik Karlsson."
And again, the difference between the San Jose Sharks and the NHL. The NHL could easily have done that too. How there's not like a couple VTA buses painted with the All-Star logo, or a car on Caltrain, you know, stuff like that. You see light rail cars will be covered. And I mean, there are ample opportunities to promote this and make it like a big thing for that for next week in the city. And, you know, and see, and Tim Moffitt saying, does anyone really care about the All-Star game? It's not about the All-Star game. It's about this whole
weekend.
It's this whole 4-day experience of all the different things that are going to be going on. That's the thing that I don't understand why they're not driving tickets for that. But, you know, and of course they'll sit there and use that as an excuse down the line saying that, well, you know, the turnout for the events at the convention center were less than we expected. And it's like, oh, maybe it's because nobody freaking knew about it.
Right.
You know?
And that's the thing, you know.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
So that'll be interesting. And you know, they have a lot of events, too, in the arena this coming week. They have the Harlem Globetrotters twice. I think there's an Elton John concert, the Barracuda also play. I mean, and they're gonna have to switch over the ice too, so I mean, they got to put the All-Star logo at center ice. At least makes me wonder if the Barracuda might get to play on the All-Star ice first before the NHL now.
So. I'm gonna go ahead and say yeah. I would bet, I don't know, maybe versus Texas, but definitely versus Bakersfield, if you want to get an early look at what the ice is going to look like for the All-Star game. I'd go to
the game on Monday against
Bakersfield.
Yeah, and that's tough because they have the Barracuda play tomorrow against Texas.
Wait, what? No, not tomorrow.
I'm sorry, Friday. Excuse me. Yeah. I'm thinking it's Thursday. I'm used to having shows on Thursdays, my bad. So Friday, Barracuda play Texas. The next night, it's an Elton John concert. The following day, the Harlem Globetrotters play a game. And then the Harlem Globetrotters actually play at noon on Monday. Follow that up by a Barracuda game at 7.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
oh, because Martin Luther King Day. Okay.
Right.
Like, wait, so, what? Okay. Yeah, makes sense. All right. So anyway, yeah, we can sit here all day and dump all over the NHL for not knowing how to promote stuff. And then they wonder why they don't have more fans, you know. It's like, okay, you know, you don't want your players to be flashy anyway, shape, or, and I get it to a certain extent. There's being, having personality like it, we all can't be Strombo on the Twitter, you know. We all can't be that, but there are some guys that they could promote them a little harder that are good. Right.
Completely.
Let me see. Felix, you said previously the cup might be at City Hall. No, not might. It will be at City Hall on the 22nd, next Tuesday.
Yep.
So go enjoy that. So, again, the Sharks play. They got a chance to go back at it. Don't think that Tampa Bay won't want some retribution this Saturday. And we'll be here for you, like we always are, after every single Sharks game. Do us a favor if you're new here. We do go live after every single game. Hit the subscribe button if you would, please. Follow us on Twitter, at TealTownUSA. Hit the notification bell, because this isn't the only thing we do. We'll throw on some other content from here and there. And, in fact, we're going to be doing an interview tomorrow that should go on the channel tomorrow evening. So look forward to that. We will be speaking with Sharks Vice President John Totora. I'm sorry, co-VP.
Co-president.
Yes. All right. It's, well, you know what? Yeah. During the interview, we will get to the bottom of his job title. but we'll be talking with John Totora tomorrow, and that interview shall be posted sometime tomorrow evening. So that'll give you a little something to listen to between now and the game versus Tampa. The angry AJ Tree will not be part of that interview. I hate to say, but it does happen.
Yeah.
So
I hope you enjoy Twitter mission tonight.
There you go. That is, well, we've got it. Follow us on Instagram. We got a pregame report before every single game day. So
AJ does an epic job on those.
Thank you. Have fun with that. So I'm AJ_Strong on the Twitter, on the Instagram, but do us a favor, follow us on those social media channels and follow Teal Town USA. Of course, everything is on the website. And for those of you who donated tonight or have donated in the past on the Super Chat, we very much appreciate that. Thank you very much. Sam Liccardo will be serving beers at the All-Star Game. That's a bold thing to do, my friend, because I know more than a few people that would love nothing more than to pour a beer on top of Sam Liccardo.
Which would be interesting, since he's still recovering from a bike injury.
Yeah, we'll see how that happens. I don't know that Liccardo has a beef with the Sharks right now. None of that stuff is personal. It's just a city thing, from what I understand. I know that there are things that are kind of happening between the city of San Jose, Sharks, you know, Silicon Valley Sports and Entertainment, BART, VTA, Google. There's a lot of moving parts here, and trying to put all the pieces together in this puzzle that will be the whole Googleplex, Diridon, SAP entertainment, you know, area. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but I don't expect BART to be here for at least another couple of years. I was told that the Barry S's station was going to open like 8 months ago, and I think it's not going to open for at least another 8 or 9 months. So it always,
and it's ready, right?
For, yeah, they're just like essentially testing. Who is Sam Liccardo? Sam Liccardo is the mayor of San Jose, who I believe just won re-election because basically no one ran against him, to be honest with you. Sam Liccardo is the mayor that will go down in history as the guy who tried to take away as many traffic lanes as possible for vehicles and try to make them change them to bicycle lanes. Fun fact, New Year's Day, Sam Liccardo went to the hospital because he was on his bicycle and had an accident with the car, thus proving that those bicycle lanes, yeah, those work great. But anyway, yeah, I'm not a fan of some of Liccardo's policies, as you can probably tell. But you know, it's one of those things that, okay, final thing from my soapbox, you can't add housing and jobs and not add infrastructure. This is not Manhattan. Okay. We are not pedestrians. We are, most of these people, they get to A and B and C by a car. sometimes a bike, sure. Sometimes one of those, what are those things called where you like,
scooter?
Yeah, you scan, I forget. Yeah, but there's like one of the companies, you know, what is it?
Bird or okay. Lime.
Whatever. But anyway, it's that whole idea of they keep trying to act or treat San Jose as if it's like Manhattan, where there's like, oh, people live. No, we're not even close to that. So Rob saying, yeah, San Jose is not designed for bikes. Exactly. But mm-hmm. Liccardo's just going to keep jamming it down the throats until he thinks it is, you know. Yeah. So whatever.
I am Eric Cura. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at PuckGuy14. Me and AJ do a bunch of stuff for the Instagram. AJ's epic with his pregame reports. I do an infographic here and there. But of course, we will be back with you following Sharks and Lightning. That is a 4:30 start in Tampa, or is it 4?
That would be...
Four. Thank you very much.
Four.
So the always fun 4-on-4 play. The 4 p.m. start for Tampa and San Jose. Be on the lookout for that. And then we'll be back with you for Teal Town After Dark. Do us a favor. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. Hit that like button. Yes. Jessica, the like button. And we will see you Saturday night. So until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real, Teal. Have a great night, everyone.